One, two, three. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm gonna. I feel like I need to make an introduction song.
Right. Well, I tried it. I tried doing it. Well, I tried it a bunch of different ways. I had. I know I wanted music in there.
Yeah.
Right.
Sounded good.
Music or sound effects, some combination of those. And I, you know, I toyed around with, you put it in the beginning. Do I do an intro bit and then some music? So I'm not glued on anything yet, but I like that particular piece of music at the beginning.
It sounded good. Did you have to, is that like copyrighted or any, or is that one of the free ones you can use?
It's not free. I had to buy it.
You had to buy it.
And I think it was like $9. And I go, it's worth $9 to me.
Yeah.
If that's something I can use every time.
Real quick. So, Brian Mann, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
I would say you're my first return customer or return guest, but Dan's done a couple with me too.
Dan
Marinucci.
Ah.
He's just, you know, that guy that when you need help, he's just the guy that helps.
Right.
You know, and you'll find that out. And I'm still like I'm a professional or something now, but, you know, it's nice to just be able to run through a podcast and record it and post it. And it's nice to do it with somebody that's not like, you know, has any expectations. And Dan doesn't. Dan's just easygoing.
Right. I can see. Oop, I went off again.
Wonder what, is that, hold on.
All right.
Sorry about that.
We had
little technical difficulties, but we're good. Yeah, so it's just nice to have somebody that you can kind of run through a podcast with and not a lot of expectations. And
right. I already have, at least one or two people that are those folks.
Yeah.
Just somebody
I'm one of those folks, you know that hopefully. If you I'll help, you know, I've told you before, anything I can do, I'd help, you know, practice on me, I don't care.
Yeah, you popped into my head this morning. So I showed my bosses, sent them a link to this test episode. And, I was asked, what's the focus going to be? And I was like, I don't know, you know, because, well, I don't know what we talked about last time as far as me starting my own podcast. But what I ended up doing is I first focused on trying to figure out a way to create a podcast for Big Fish.
Right.
The Big Fish Restaurant Group.
Right.
You know, do I start one for Big Fish Restaurant Group? Do I do my own? Do I do both? And so what I went with first, I said, do one for work. Let's start there.
Right.
And so the idea or one of the first thoughts is, well, what do we talk about? You know, hospitality, the rest, you know, trying to develop those things.
Right.
And then I go, well, I want to be able to have anybody on. For instance, you. I go, how does he fit into the Big Fish universe, Big Fish world, whatever? And I go, well, he's somebody I went to about this podcast. That's how it fits.
Right.
You know, so I just started doing all these, you know, all these thought experiments on what people can we have on, what people shouldn't we have, you know, all that stuff. And I go, yeah, I'm not doing all that. I'm going to try and figure out how whoever wants to come on can come on and then cross that bridge when I get to it.
Well, you know, my premise for this podcast has always been, how is one small business helping another? And if it's even my small business helping you get your podcast going, as small as that is, I'm still trying to help. You know, it's always, it's a great topic because, you know, especially in this town, you know, we've all known somebody or tried to help somebody, or maybe honestly, if we haven't, maybe we would like to try.
Yeah. I think so. What I heard there is, before the small business, it was help.
Yeah.
So that was like the, if you were ranking the elements of the motivation or the drive, it would be help.
Exactly.
Or at least that's in there, wherever it ranks.
Well, and I think I told you before, you know, I was good friends with Matt. And Matt, he would help anybody. And he
right.
was capable, he had the ability to help a lot more than like maybe speaking for me, than I can.
Mm.
I don't know about you, but he was just, he had the time and he was a little more financially well off and he could help a little with other things. But that's kind of where it started. And I told you that I had a friend was like, I want to pick up where he left off. And I was like, Jesus, that's a huge undertaking. So I'm going to just try little bits of help.
Yeah, I think one of the things, and I've had conversations with this about some people, is that a key word for me when talking about this stuff is the word charity. And there may be the idea out there, and I assume it's out there, and it's especially out there when it comes to like what I'm calling commercialized charity or commercialized philanthropy. But that I'm been working on this for a while is that charity comes in all kinds of different sizes, so to speak. Meaning, so Matt was practicing charity the way Matt practices charity.
Right.
You can practice charity the way you practice charity.
Right.
It's the same way as like I play basketball the way I play basketball.
Absolutely.
You play the way you play. And in my mind, that's all that needs to be done. The trick is in the charity itself. It doesn't have to, in my mind, doesn't have to match the charity of some charity titan. You know what I mean? I'm not playing in the NBA. I can't compare to a James Harden or a Joel Embiid. Shout out to my Sixers. And, you know, I play in playgrounds or in a driveway. That's where I'm at.
Right.
And I'm good with that. As long
and you're helping.
Yeah, so in my mind, it's the charity that counts and the motivation behind the charity. If it's, you know, one small unit of charity, you know, being one charitable act, or it's some massive titanic act of charity where somebody donates $10 million to a children's hospital. They're both charity.
Well, luckily for me, I don't have really any... You know, nothing binding me to do really anything. I mean, I have a job. I mean, I like the idea of trying to help one another, but really that's the premise. But honestly, I just like chatting with people and talking. And I try to keep it very, I keep it very low key. And honestly, if I help, I mean, I'm talking to people that are pretty much doing the right thing. I mean, there's not much I can do to help, like a Ryan Peters. Ryan is super successful. For me, with Ryan, it was more about letting Ryan know that Ryan was very inspirational to me. You know, and that he helped me.
Right.
And it's not always about me helping. It's also about getting helped and recognizing the people that help you. And Ryan, you know, I've known Ryan for a long time. I cut his hair for a long time, him and his wife. And, but you know, one thing about Ryan, he's always doing something. He's got his hand in something and he's doing it, you know, he does it well. And, you know, you don't always make all the friends in the world. You make, you know, whether they're jealous or whatever. But, and I have had moments where I've been a little jealous of Ryan. You know, he's really taking care of business. And, but that doesn't benefit me. That doesn't help me. What helps me is to let Ryan know, bro, you have inspired me, and I appreciate it.
Right. So you mean like...
you inspire me too, by the way. You know, the fact that you're doing this. I started, I'm a little ahead of you, but it's challenging. And, you know, I see that you're going through the thoughts, you know, the music. It's like
right.
You want to do it the right way.
Dude, it's fun.
It's fun.
I've become, the people who pay me, if they knew how much time I've been spending geeking out on this.
Right.
And, you know, I think their eyebrows would move upward.
Well, I don't know if they're paying you for all that tweaking, but.
Well, it's my justification is that I'm doing it to benefit the company and the foundation.
Right.
And you know, I'm doing it to try to add value to that whole operation and to the people that work there and to the community in general, just and ideally that's what it would do and that's what I'm hoping it will do.
Well, and I'll tell you that I've never heard those words Big Fish Charitable Foundation before until I met you.
Right.
So if you know, if one, you know, one person hears it,
mission accomplished.
You want more than one hearing it, but I've mentioned it to some people. Who's that? Oh, he's working with. And then I mentioned you, and somebody asked me, oh, how's he doing? So it starts off slow.
Right.
It's not the way we picture it. You have a challenge. I mean, you have like a goal. I don't, luckily, because I would be like, oh, God. It'd be like, oh, it's giving me anxiety. But, you know, I think that that's awesome. And I think it is a great tool if, you know, you figure out how to use it.
Yeah.
And I guess the message, honestly, if I was somebody standing back just wondering what the Big Fish Charitable Foundation is, I guess the big message for me would be, what do you help fund? Or what are you putting charitable the foundation towards? I mean, I guess that would be the message, right?
Right. That would be part of it. And but the trick is, I mean, for instance, right away, there's two different shows that I see that are easy to distinguish between each other. One will, there'll be, I don't know if you call them shows or segments, but I plan on having people from nonprofit organizations, maybe even people that aren't involved with, people that I know as being charitable, people that practice being charitable, have them come on the show and talk about that kind of stuff mm-hmm. that relates to the foundation.
Yeah.
Maybe it could be people that we do give money to or gift cards to or gift certificates to. People that, basically anybody doing charity work of some level, some kind, again, whether it's teeny tiny or large. And then the other shows would be talking about the restaurant business, opening the new locations, talking to different team members / employees, and talking about that kind of stuff.
The tough part about giving things to people is that, you know, you, and you kind of, I think, mentioned it a little bit in the beginning. You can't, you know, I remember when I very first got sober and I was like, you know, I was like, I'm a new me. New improved. And I would go to Giant and I would go grocery shopping and I would fill my cart and take it all the way out to my car. And the new me decided that he thought it would be important to just take the cart all the way back instead of putting it in the, you know, the holder, purgatory, cart purgatory. I took it all the way back. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm trying to be a better me. I'm trying to do a little more. But the whole time I'm like seeing if anybody's noticing.
Oh, you're looking for that recognition?
Yeah. So it's kind of a tough road to walk when you're like, you know, you want to be humble, you want to be charitable, but at the same time, it can't be self-serving to a point.
Yeah, I think I know exactly what you're saying. And I think that also, like any other practice, again, I consider charity a practice.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a real thing, is that that is part of the practice, meaning at some point, I would think somebody who's skilled in charity or naturally skilled in charity, who has developed a skill in charity over time, like that gets you, that you lose that. That might be like, we could say a rookie mistake.
Right.
Right. But again, you would catch that and go, that's something that has gotten into the bowl of charity that should not be in there. And we need to figure it out. We need to now figure out how to extricate that from that.
Right.
And, you know, that thereby increasing your quality of practice of charity.
Does Big Fish Charitable Foundation, do they support like races, 5Ks, anything like that?
Yes.
Because that might be, and I'm not going to, that might be a fun thing to kind of like, talk about, you know, something like that coming up, a race, talking about maybe where the money goes. And I'm actually not going to I'm not going to get into like trying to explain to you what you should be doing. And I apologize because I'm not going to do that. That came to mind, maybe a race or something. It's tough. You know, it's tough to be charitable and talk about it.
It can be. But it can also be, would you also be open to the idea of it being easy to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's easy, but I just, you know, it has to not be self-serving.
I think I brought this something up earlier, is I use the term commercialized philanthropy, meaning, I mean, and it's out there. And when people and organizations, they take charity, and again, everybody probably defines charitably in a different way, and they start to do it in a way where you're now selling. You know, charity starts morphing into selling, and it becomes selling under the guise of charity. And so, again, with this, the skill is meaning, you know, it's all because you, if by talking about it, you're promoting it, and you're in effect selling it. And how do you make it everything promoting it, talking about it? How do you make it, what's the word I want to use? Kosher. Cool. And not what I'm describing as selling it and trying to commercialize it.
Yeah.
So I think there's a way to do that. And I think figuring out the way to do that takes practice. And you just do it over and over. You keep practicing charity. And I would like to think that eventually, with the right feedback from whoever is willing to provide it in any way, shape, or form it comes, you keep modifying the practice based on what you run into, based on the effects of that practice.
I agree. You definitely practice it enough, you'll get good at it.
And I like to think, especially being around here, I know enough people that if I am doing that, I feel okay saying that there are plenty of people that will contact me immediately and be like, yo, Bri, that part you said there was a little, you know, schlocky. Let's not try to lose that.
Hopefully,
and I'll go, yes, ma'am. Thanks for the feedback.
I hope you don't get that, honestly, because this is I have not had one bit of negative, and I'm obviously not doing charity, but I have, even like my James, I'm like, James, listen to the podcast. Tell me, do I have any, he didn't even, mm-hmm. He said it was great. It was fine.
Yeah.
I think you're going to do just fine. What is the, how are you going to, you figured out your schedule? I mean, when are you going to start? What's the deal? When are we going to start downloading these podcasts?
I think it's very soon. I just recently had Holly Monaco and Eric Shagru, my bosses at mm-hmm. Big Fish, the president and vice president of operations at the Big Fish Restaurant Group, that I wanted them to listen to it, get the feedback. And, basically I was like waiting to hear we're not interested. So I didn't hear that. So that means I'm going to go. I can now, in my mind, go full blast with it. And I think I talked about this the last time I was on, is I need to start lining up guests as well as I can and start talking to our social media people where we can start posting about it en masse. And, that's about as far as I've gotten with it. I think the first episode I'm going to have the guy who's actually on that test episode, Mike Muzzin, the general manager at Big Fish Grill Rehoboth.
Nice.
Oh, he's a great dude to have on. He's like a perfect...
give me his number.
You want to have him on?
I'll have anybody on.
He is funny.
There's no
hell.
Shame in my game. I like chatting, and it always turns out great. And I think, I like the simplicity. I try to keep it super simple.
Yeah, he's a super...
asking me to run charitable foundations.
Right. He's interesting and high-energy dude. And he's...
I actually have a chef coming on after you today, the head chef of DeFibo's.
Ah, what's this person's name? I was going to say his name, but could be her.
No, his name is Brian, too. And he has a big follow. He does the chef's table on Facebook.
I'm not aware of that.
He's got a huge following. And he's got a great, same kind of story, dishwasher to head chef kind of story. And I love that story. So I reached out to him, and he said he would love to come and tell a story. So he's coming in.
Very nice. So, yeah, I don't know. I was asked the same question. Somebody said, who are you having on next? And I was like, I don't know. So my first podcast idea is an introduction podcast, I think. Again, this could change in 5 minutes in my mind, is that I'm going to probably have Mike on there. We're going to discuss the podcast, the idea behind it, and then that will be episode one. So... yeah, I gotta start coming up with guests, contacting them and saying, hey, will you do this? And
what's my biggest challenge has been with this podcast?
What's that?
Uploading them. It's complicated.
Really?
It is.
What do you convert? what file do you can? Well, I could be because I'm the way I'm using Microsoft,
mm-hmm.
and what I do is I record, convert it to an MP3.
No, it's not that part. That part's easy. The part that is tough is where. So I'm using podcasts.com, podcasts.com. And I upload it to there, and it's Cakewalk. You know, I'm using GarageBand, actually, and it just transfers it right to my iTunes, and then I upload it to a podcast. But it asks for title, composer, author, and I'm like, oh, God. So when I very first started, I would, you know, I just kind of filled it out, not really understanding, and all the podcasts started being posted with a picture, and it said Rehoboth Sociable, not really identifying each one.
The person's name.
And then I tried a couple different ways. And what happens is if you upload it in any different manner than you did the first one, now that needs to be subscribed to as well. So you're subscribing to one podcast, and then you're subscribing to, if you put the name, if you change the name and move it, it now becomes something different, and it asks you to subscribe to that. So I started having a mess.
An organization issue.
So the other day I went back, and I figured this out, that you can do this. I went back and edited all of them and reposted them the same way with all of them. And now when I go to iTunes, they're all posted. It says Rehoboth Sociable, and it says the name of the guest.
It looks the way and it's functioning the way it should have been from the beginning?
Right, exactly. But it's still confusing. Like, I tried to do a podcast yesterday, and this is a little bit of a funny story. I tried to do a podcast by myself.
Ah, solo.
I couldn't do it. It's tough. I mean, I did it, and I deleted it this morning because I just didn't really like it. But
I want to be able to do those as well. I want to be able to do both.
Well, and I was trying to do, you know, I've been doing this Just Supper Challenge, and I wanted to try to put a podcast out there explaining the Just Supper Challenge to try to see if I can get anybody to try it and then come on the podcast and talk about it. But I felt like I was all over the place, and I deleted it. I got to try again, or maybe I'll have somebody come on and we'll talk about it and try to post it that way. But it was tough. And but I had it, and then it said, "How do you want to upload it?" I'm like, "Oh my God, I've already forgotten what I'm supposed to, how I'm supposed to." It's, you know, it's
you haven't written it all down.
No, I didn't write it down.
See, I write all these things down, so I don't have to worry about remembering it or forgetting it.
Well, I started doing that. In fact, I have a paper calendar with a pencil. Because I'm having, you know, I run into, like, John, do you know Johnny Wawa, the guy from Wawa, Johnny?
Mm-mm.
He's this the coolest guy at Wawa.
Which Wawa?
The one by Kids Cottage. I call him Johnny Wawa. He's just, he's like the ambassador of Wawa.
Gotcha.
So he's going to come and do my podcast next week. So I had to write it down. You know, luckily for me, I can ask anybody, you know, it doesn't have to be like... You know, and to me, he's very important. But, you know, in other people's world, he might not be as important. But to me, he's a great guy. And I know a lot of people know. Let me tell
you something. If you've attained the nickname Johnny Wawa, you're important.
You're big time.
Yeah. In my book.
He's just a great face to see in the morning, you know. And he's just he's a great guy. So, but I had to write it down because there, and I told you, I think this morning, that I have a podcast this morning at 9. What's up, Sam? Sam, walking in the room, what can we do for you?
Hey, Sam.
He's getting the football. I have you. We're doing this podcast this morning at 9, but I have somebody on the schedule at 10:30, and I don't know who it is. And then I have somebody on the schedule at 11:30, which is all fine, but it's gonna conflict. So I said I need to start writing this down.
I'm amazed that you haven't been doing that.
I'm
style.
A little low key, bro.
It's a style thing, right? Again, like I...
Or lack of style. I'm not sure I'm styling.
I write it all down. And that's part of my thing is because if I don't, I'll get lost.
Can you push that shut? I'm sorry. Sam left the door open. Sorry. Yeah, and I can, and you know, I'm just like you, but it takes me a little time to learn and then I start doing it.
Right.
But I think, you know, that's, and you mentioned it, the guests... Getting guests it's a little scary, you know, because you're asking someone to come on to something they have no idea what it is. Like even when I was talking to Ryan the other day, he came out with a backpack and he was like, his shoulders were all, I'm like, dude, relax.
Oh, he was all fired up.
Well, no, he wasn't fired up, but you know, I think
you know, if you, I think he was just thought it was going to be a lot of like, you know, drop some facts, you know, give me facts, give
right,
me facts.
Right, right,
and
right,
we
right,
ended
right,
up
right.
just talking about, you know, all the shit that we've known each other in the last 10 years. We just kind of reminisced and it was fun. We had a good time and we talked. I think the real message from him was about the volunteer fire department, but you right. know, it's like, just relax. But people don't know, and it's they're nervous, and they're afraid they don't have anything to say. And then an hour later, you're like, okay.
You know what I think, because I've thought about this, is that that makes sense to me. And I think what I'd like to see happen is that, you know, you ask somebody, right? And they'll be like, what do we do? What are we going to talk about? And I'd like to say, hey, man, all you got to do is listen to the podcast and you'll figure it out exactly you'll hear what it sounds like, what the tempo of it is, what kind of questions are asked, what kind of things people talk about. I mean, and I'm saying that because one of the things I've learned and one of the reasons I want to do a podcast is because of all the podcasts I listen to.
Right.
They're all super interesting to me. Very close attention to what's happening in each one. What are they saying? How are they saying it? You know, and they're all different. Each person, each host or whatever, and each guest all do very different things, but they all produce the same results, stuff that I want to listen to.
Right.
And I realize I'm incorporating all these different things. And, you know, so the problem is you might ask somebody to come on the show who doesn't listen to podcasts. But I think everybody, because of radio, has a general preconceived idea of what happens.
Right.
So, like, yeah, a guy comes in and, like, you know, they may be nervous. They don't want to say something dumb, or they want to make sure they sound smart. They want to say the right thing. I'm not saying this about your guy.
No, right.
Ryan?
Ryan.
It could be anything. Who knows what it is? But I think the trick is, I mean, like...
I think you want to sound smart. I mean, honestly.
Well, I think it... again, it's so different, but I think it's a conversation.
It's a conversation. And I will tell you, I don't listen to podcasts. And I think I told you this
You
before.
Don't listen to them?
I don't listen to any. I listen to Joe Rogan's podcast, but I watch it on YouTube. So...
Yep.
I tried to listen to one, and it sounded so corporate. It was like... And then when you kind of played me yours with the music and stuff, I was like, oh, I mean, I like that, mm-hmm. but it sounded so professional that it almost doesn't, it sounds like I'm just getting regurgitated stuff when it's like, it's almost like you go to a podcast to find out the latest news on this or and I know there's others,
right?
But I just haven't listened to them. And it wasn't what motivated me. Really, the reason I like doing podcasts is because I can do this. You know, I don't think I could be a radio DJ, or I don't think I could be, you know, do a professional blog. I can sit and chat. This allows me right. to be able to do this. I'm, you know, I've said this before, and I'm smart, but I barely got through high school. I did a turf management school, and I'm getting old. So what if I did know anything that made me smart? I'm slowly forgetting it. So I can just be me. And I still hold up the sign and says, I just want to leave this a little smarter. So I'm expecting you to make me a little smarter.
Ah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Has it happened yet?
Absolutely. Hey, and Brian, I told you this. You're inspiration to me. I think it's tough. And I know exactly the stuff you're thinking about. It's, you know, it's new. It's new for you. It's new for me. So I get it. But I like it. I like that you're doing
it.
And if I can help you, you know, if I can tell you, if I can suggest, if I have somebody that I can suggest that come on your show that would love to do it, I'll give them to you. You can, or not give them to them. I'll give you their name because
right.
it's going to take us helping one another.
Yeah.
I think to have success at this.
Well, again, you've already been a tremendous help to me. Just coming here, it was like a training session, meaning I'd never done a podcast. So that was my first podcast.
Right.
So exactly. I go, that'll go down in the books.
That's one less thing to worry about.
Right. Exactly. I can do it. Now this is my second one.
Yep.
I feel infinitely, not infinitely, that's a hyperbole there. I feel a lot more comfortable this time around. Number one, because I've done it before. Number two, since I was on your podcast, I have been spending a ton of time in front of a microphone and recording. So much so that I was automatically, when I go to sit at my desk where I work, everything's set up right where I work. I would automatically, without even thinking about it, without anything turned on, bring the mic in front of my face.
Yeah.
Just like instinctively. So
habit.
Yeah. And so I'm much more comfortable doing it altogether. And I think that's going to be important because I think I need to be comfortable in order to be a host of the podcast. So when other people come on, you know, if I'm nervous, it's not as good. Like, for instance, this guy, Mike Muzzin, I've been talking about. Mm-hmm. He's been over 3 or 4 times. I had a couple friends of mine come over and just practice recording. I wasn't trying to create a podcast. I literally would say, hey, come over and just help me get used to talking, being in front of a microphone, talking into a microphone, talking to somebody else who has a microphone in front of their face. And we just, it would be literally us just talking as if the microphones weren't there.
Right.
But now the microphones are, just to get used to it.
You know, and I always say, listen, whoever I'm doing the podcast with, I always say, look, I'm recording it. You know, if you don't like it, just delete it.
Yeah,
it's not like this is being beamed out to the world and, you know,
God forbid
we screw up and say something stupid. We're recording it. If we don't like it, we'll just delete it. But I've never had to delete one. I always just say, hey, good job, and I just upload it right away, and they don't even have an option to listen to it.
Well, that was the other thing, too. I needed to practice recording so I could practice using the tools.
Right.
I use Audacity and VoiceMeter. And so I need to practice with the different editing tools, you know, compression, clip fix, and all this stuff. And I go, you know, and I can practice that stuff by doing solo recordings. But it's, you know, there's another thing when you have somebody else across from you. So I just love it, man.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
You're using words I don't like to use, like edit and stuff like that. I mean, I literally will upload this.
It's
and
one
post
of my
it.
Favorite parts.
Yeah, I did 142 vlogs with drones and talking into cameras and adding music and time lapse and just the whole editing thing. And in the end, I started kind of getting into this same old edit, you know, put this here, put this here. And it just got exhausting. And,
interesting.
And then I was like, why am I? And I basically ran out of things to fly my drone over. So I just kind of, but that's what I did for a year. It kind of helped me. I was going through some challenges and not really challenges, just some relationship stuff. And I had to kind of, you know, it kept me occupied.
Well, and I would bet $1,000 that doing all that work informs this work.
Yeah,
meaning
I think so.
You didn't come in here completely. You had some experience with stuff like this that I'm sure you applied to this.
Yeah. Well, and luckily I haven't. You know, I haven't kind of put myself in a box. You know, the title of this podcast is Rehoboth Social.
Mm.
Just chatting, Rehoboth. Just talking about Rehoboth, you know, and that's also kind of the premise is, you know, if you were born here, what kept you here? If you weren't, what brought you here? And, you know, what keeps you here today?
Right.
Those are easy. You know, usually those are fun hour conversations. I'm wondering if you're going to, you know, and I think you probably know this, you could probably have like umbrella podcasts, you know, you might have to have, unless you can talk about charitable stuff every time. The one thing I know as a person that likes even Joe Rogan, the one podcast I do like, he's consistent. He's consistent. And I used to love Casey Neistat, too. He was a vlogger up in New York City. Every day he would have a vlog. That was his thing. He did a vlog every day. And it wore him out, and eventually he had to stop doing it. But, you know, I love the consistency. I would have my day, and I go, I know I'm going to watch some Casey. I know every day I'm going to usually watch a Joe Rogan podcast. If it isn't a Joe Rogan, it's probably there's a lot I can watch. That's why for this I try to at least get a couple out a week. I don't know if I could do it every day. I don't know if I know that many people. I mean, but, you know, I think the toughest part is trying to be consistent. You know, it might be tough consistently talking about charitable stuff. You know, you might have to like, you know, a lot of fun stuff going in the restaurants, you know, restaurant stuff, and then maybe a couple that are real about serious charity.
Oh yeah. It's not going to be charity stuff every day.
Yeah.
Or my ultimate goal would be once a week.
Once a week.
And I'm with you. There's no way to talk about. Like I said, that's why I think there'll be different shows. Like there'll be maybe a specific charity show, foundation show, and another kind of show. Now, can I mix and match them here and there? If there's like something we're doing or something we've done, you know, I don't know yet. But I'm not trying to do a foundation show every week. That's not going
to. It's tough. And, you know, that's why I have, like, you need a Dan Marinucci. You know, you need that guy where, you know, you don't have anything going on. You can just have him on.
Right. Exactly.
Chat, you know, and still put out something. You know, hopefully you talk about interesting stuff, but, you know, so that you can still be consistent.
Yep.
At least that's what I'm trying to do.
And I'd like to think that with 23, 24 restaurants, both in the North and the South, that, you know, there's a lot of people. I mean, tons of people, tons of guests.
Have you figured out?
And not just employees and team members, but guests. Have you people who come in to eat the crab cakes or whatever.
Absolutely. Have you figured out how to do like a Skype podcast?
No. I don't even know if I'm interested in that, to be honest. Neither. I can take this stuff I have and, like, I'll be able to go up to Wilmington and go to like the Trolley Square Oyster House, go in there in some room before they open, do something, you know, attach these to whatever table is working, hook up my computer. And I don't know. Now I'm saying that, and I also know that because I'm sounding adamant about it. Next thing you know, something's going to happen where I'm going to have to use it. And I'm going to have to.
Exactly. That's why I was kind of asking.
Chop down those walls. So I haven't thought about it, is my new official answer to that question.
Well, I've thought about it. It just seems like another wire I need and another thing I need. And, you know, I'm sure it's super easy. In fact, I've done quite a bit of Skyping with, you know, I built some stuff and I have some friends in India and we Skype all the time. But to actually pipe it in. Might be a little challenging.
Yeah, I don't even have all this stuff. I use two USB microphones. And I think eventually if I can find a space that I would like to use all this stuff. But right now I plug the computer or the mics straight into my
computer. Yeah. I don't think you need all this stuff. I think it's...
But I like all that stuff.
Yeah, no, I like... Well, and the reason I use these mics is because my friend Gavin gave them to me. Mm. You know, I didn't pay for these.
What kind are they?
I think they're Samsung or Shure mic. I don't know. They're good mics.
Oh, yeah.
My buddy James was like, I can't believe how good that sounds.
It sounds good.
Yeah, it sounds good. So, you have to figure out what you want to spend and what you can get away with. I mean, I personally want to spend a lot of money on a lot of stuff.
Well, one of the things I forced myself to do was to spend as little as possible and try and do as much as I could as possible. And just because I think that's a good way to start, meaning see what you can do with the small amount of money as possible. And then if you want to start building here, doing this, but be super careful about it.
Well, I did my first podcast with that, and I'm pointing at the DH1 little handheld microphone.
With the purple magenta-looking silver thingy?
No, that's a...
Not Joker, but the thing to the right of Joker.
Yeah, to the right of it. We used that, and it worked fine.
Yeah.
And that's a great, you know, if you ever need to go, like, on the road and do a podcast with somebody, and you don't want to take a lot of equipment, that thing actually works really well. And it has a chip. I mean, it has a card, and you can download the card right into the computer. It does work well. It was just, for me, it looked a little rookie.
right.
And, you know.
Right. Well, I think that's the thing, too, is, again, I spend as little money as possible, see if you can get that to work. And then, for instance, here, perfect example is I have, now, these mic arms are different. I don't see any springs.
These are springs.
I don't see them.
You're looking right at them. They're right here.
Ah, there they are.
Yeah.
So they are springs. So what I found is that I've become okay with not moving the mic so much, but that the guests start experimenting with moving it around to get comfortable.
Right.
And these
make noise.
They go boom. Exactly.
Say something.
Yeah. It sounds like a bass drum.
That's drama.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Brian just dropped some drama.
Exactly. So what I did was, part of me goes, I don't want that noise. And I go, it's not that big of a deal right now, Brian. But then I go, I look at what, you know, you can Google what kind of equipment does Joe Rogan use or so-and-so use. And I go look, and there's mic arms that you can get that won't make any noise
Mm-mm.
when Blue. You move them. So I go, all right, put that on your list, but you don't need them right now. Don't spend that money now.
I liked his mics, and I like his mic stands. Those black solid mic stands with with the candoid microphone, whatever you call them. I like those, but they're $350 a piece for one, and those mic stands are not cheap either.
No, there's like $300.
And those mic stands are $300?
Yeah,
so I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good.
Don't hit the springs.
Right, exactly.
And nobody, you know what? Honestly, my only challenge with microphones is people don't. They like don't want to talk into them, so they get far away, and then it makes for bad. But I've also, you know, for me, because I'm a little, you know, I'm a little lower key than you, but you know, I was when I first started, I wanted it to be perfect, but not like when Sam walked in, I would have been like, cut that out. But you know, it's just guys chatting.
Yeah.
You know, Sam's my boy. You know, no, Sam's coming in. You know, Sam might be on the podcast one day. It's just, you know, I watched Joe Rogan's podcast, and you know, it's pretty low key there too.
It's also. I think it's great.
Yeah. So that's
my favorite podcasts are the ones the comedians do.
Yeah.
I think they're. I'd have to say I don't want to say I'm addicted to them, but it's the only. I don't watch TV.
Right.
I don't do any. The movies, podcasts, and Philadelphia sports. I think I brought that up last time.
Yep.
That's it. Anything that I listen to, like I barely listen to the radio anymore.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm a little different. I like TV. I like watching TV.
Now I am watching Game of Thrones. So.
Dude, that's the last episode sucked. I am not happy.
I couldn't disagree with you more. Your opinion is completely wrong.
You thought the last episode was good?
Yeah.
Oh, for God's sake.
Well, the setup with Daenerys and where she finds out that what's-his-face is her brother. I mean, come on. I mean, the whole show, that was enough.
Well, you knew that already, though, right?
I knew it already, okay. But she didn't know. But now she knows.
And look, don't get me wrong. I love Game of Thrones. I've watched every episode. I'm on the Game of Thrones team. I'm with you. I love it.
I don't know. I'm getting mixed messages from you.
Well, but you know, I felt like they kind of did this in the fifth season as well, where there's just a lot of this. It almost seems low budget. Like they take these. I'm either getting old, I'm getting cynical, or I don't know. But I feel like their budget, like. It's like just two people talking. And then it's like every, you know, cut scene, go to two more people just talking, like getting information out. It's not like, and then at the very end, and what's really annoying is that they're getting ready to fight these dead people, and we still got six episodes left. So what, is this going to drag out for six episodes?
I hope it does.
Well, I mean,
you got the story.
I feel like this was, I don't even think the season was expected. I feel like it's kind of a money grab. And I love Game of Thrones. I love it. I want it to go on forever. But I just feel like I'm watching.
I got you. I hear you.
I'm ready for it to get exciting.
All right.
I don't even, were the dragons at all in that episode?
No.
No.
But that dog.
They got dragons.
Yeah. They'll get here. They want to build the suspense. They want people to start, you know, going berserk about the dragons. And then, you know, they know what they're doing. They're going to put the dragons in, and they're going to, when we see the dragons.
See, if I was Jon Snow, I would have ordered those dragons to just torch those woods with all them dead people inside of it. Just light the whole thing on fire. Burn them. Or just like rows of fire that they got to walk through and melt. But no one thought of that. See, I should be on the show.
Right. That's probably too easy.
Dude, I'm such a Game of Thrones fan when, not this past Halloween, but the Halloween before, my wife got us these. I was Jon Snow, and she was, who's the blonde girl?
Daenerys. Targaryen.
And it was so cool. So I loved Game of Thrones. I guess.
You're just not excited about what you've seen so far.
Not so far. But I have read that there is a show coming on after this that's supposed to kind of have the dragons in it, and it's supposed to be
a spinoff.
Oh.
Yeah, because I mean, I'd like to think that, you know, again, they know what they're doing. And somebody sat down and go, you know what? We can do a whole spinoff thing that people will watch and people will like. And, you just need key things. If you have
dragons?
Check. You have...
And I watched every episode before
White
the
Walkers,
dragons.
Check.
Yeah, White Walkers.
Now, if I was the leader of the White Walkers, personally, I would have already had my dragon come and, you
know. Night King?
The Night King. I would have, dragon.
Right.
But he didn't even see him. Where is he at?
I guess they got, they're building suspense.
He's on a, he's on his dragon.
But then there
perch.
Wouldn't be a show. You could just do everything in one show. Here's the Night Walker dragon who's capable, you know, can blow everything up. But I go, that there's no show then. There's no story.
I'm excited. It's good. I'm not hurting anybody's feelings. I like the show.
I'm curious to see what, because I'm sure there's something that is going to happen that we're not aware of. Because my mind goes to, all right, the White Walkers are going to come to the, they're going to end up at the wall. There's going to be a fight, and
they don't even have a wall.
That's right, because the dragon.
They're in Winterfell. There's just a, it's just a castle.
Right.
They fucking torched the wall.
That's right.
Wall's done.
I forgot. And
that's how dramatic you've already forgotten.
There's going to be a fight, and the good guys are going to win.
Yay.
And some key character and or characters are going to die, and we're going to cry, and then the show will be over, and there you go.
I'll be sad. Well, you know, it is sad when a show like that ends. I mean, it's just, you know, because it is a good show. I guess maybe I'm moody on this one for some reason, but I do love it. We watch it. I'm in. I like it. Actually, I spend a lot of time watching shows about sports. I'm not big into sports, but I like shows about sports.
Sixers just won their first playoff round against the Brooklyn Nets.
Game what?
Game, I think, was it five? Yeah, they won the series 4-1.
Oh, so they're done?
They're done.
Okay, because the Nets beat them like in the first game, right?
The first game.
It was a lot of, were you nervous?
I was, because we split the series during the regular season 2-2, and I thought that the Nets seem to play very well against the Sixers each time. They have a lot of young athletic guys, and they seem to outplay the Sixers a lot. But I think something about that first loss really, and there's a couple different things that happened in that first loss that I think woke them up. They were getting booed.
Yeah, I heard.
And it was, I think it shook everything up, and they're like, all right, look, let's...
Well, what's Embiid? Is that his name? Embiid?
Joel Embiid.
Embiid. He's, because I watched Skip and Shannon on Undisputed. I love those guys. And they were talking about, you know, he just didn't really, did he even suit up that game?
He's been a little injured.
Yeah, so he didn't even play, but sounds like he's back. Because he's the key to the Sixers. Sounds like, he sounds like the key to their success.
He's one of them. But again, we have Jimmy Butler's key. Yeah,
he's new, right?
He's new. He's a first year Sixer.
Yeah, but he came from Toronto.
Was he in Toronto or was he in Chicago? Where was he just most recently?
I thought he was in Toronto. I'm not sure.
I can't remember. I think he was in. I think we got him from Chicago. I can't remember.
Well,
we got him from some team, and I know he used to play for Chicago.
Well, and I know that I was watching. They were talking about. You know, wondering how he was going to fit in the mix. It sounds like he's fit in pretty well.
I think so. I think I was wondering the same thing, but I think because he's kind of an odd dude, and I think that works well in Philadelphia.
Yeah. I'm not a huge basketball fan. I'll watch it. My wife doesn't like basketball, so she won't. Sometimes if there's a key game going on, or I'll watch a little bit. But the last end of all basketball games drive me crazy because it's like, the last minute could take the whole night, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I can't take it. So, yeah, I'm not a... I mean, I'll watch, you know, the playoffs and stuff, but I like... did you watch the Masters? Do you watch golf?
No.
What was that face? That was some face right there. I mean, eyebrows came involved, forehead. Your headphones almost came off.
I just don't... I'm not into it. And but oddly enough... I have to, we have a golf, the Summer House Golf Tournament is coming up on May 7th.
Ooh, important information.
Yeah. And
May 7th.
And I'm working with a couple of people to put it together, a few people putting it together. And so, and I'm great friends with the pro out there, Butch Holtzclaw.
Yep, I know Butchie.
Who I grew up with. And even still, like my ability to understand the language and the... there's just so many different things that are involved. Like, you got to do this. And I'm like, it's really hard for me to make sense of it all.
I can help you.
It's happening. And can you put a team together? Do you play?
A golf team?
Yeah. Do you play?
I don't. But I tell you what, I get Brownie to be on my team. he's the butcher.
Yeah, and you know what? I remember thinking about this. Like, I don't even think he played in high school. I think golf is I could be wrong, but I think he took it up later on in life, and then became like
he's good,
the best in town.
Yeah, he's freaking. He's the butcher. He's like, you know, Brownie. I mean, he's crazy.
But he's the man.
He is freaking good at golf. And so what? How many people?
I like to know how we got interested in it.
What do you need? Like a team of four?
A team of four. $400.
$400. So I can get three guys and be a team, and then we play. And it's going to be at the Rookery.
And I can run your credit card right on my phone,
son. I can run your card on my phone too. You need a card. Maybe I'll have to reach out and see if problem with Brownie is he'd be like, oh my God, that was terrible. Because I'm terrible. I mean, I played golf. You know, I don't know if I told you, I have a degree in turf management. I was assistant superintendent over at Talbot Country Club. I helped build the back nine at Baywood before them crazy assholes fucking fired me. They are crazy over there. Or they were. I don't know how they are now. But yeah, I had a lot of, so I played golf. I used to play after work and stuff. But I had such a bad experience. Not a bad experience. Just I was over it. Haven't been back. But that sounds fun. May 7th.
Yeah, and we're in desperate need of teams. And
are you in desperate need of teams?
Yeah.
I should text Brownie. Here, I'll say, you want to make a team for, what's it called?
The 4th Annual Summer House Golf Tournament.
Where's Brownie?
Benefiting the Big Fish Charitable Foundation.
I'm going to do...
make an all-podcast team. Make the team. See if you can get all people who have been on your podcast.
So when is it? It's May 7th.
Tuesday, May 7th. Tea time, 1 p.m.
And it's for the Big Fish Charitable Foundation. Let's see. All right. I'll do it after this. I'll do it. That sounds fun.
Yeah, the Rehoboth Social. Because every team needs a team name, and I'd call it...
Rehoboth Social Podcast Team?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Rehoboth Social Podcast.
Well, you should be on the team. Who are you going to play?
No. No, 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 no. I'll be working.
Oh, you're going to work?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to say, you know, it isn't about the skill. It's that $100.
Well, yeah, I'm not...
I don't think you have to be good. I guess my point was, I don't think you have to be good. You can go play and have fun and just be a hack.
I wish my attitude was different, but I have zero desire.
Oh, right. I forgot you're a golf hater.
To swing a golf club.
Now, well, I asked you about the Masters because it was an amazing...
Well, I know Tiger won.
Yeah, Tiger won.
I found myself being happy for him. And so I read some of the news and the highlights. I watched, you know, a couple of his shots. I shouldn't say I hate it because, honestly, because I go into the Summer House a lot to meet with people and... If it's on a weekend and there's golf on, I'm watching and I'm not going, oh shit, what can you switch this to, you know, seagulls or something more interesting? And I find myself watching and you know, looking at the course is cool. I mean, it's a beautiful landscape but to play it, it's just not completely not my cup of tea. And I now again saying that, I bet somehow something will happen where I go, you know what? And the other thing, it's completely expensive.
That's true. Well, that's why I don't play it. I mean, right. I agree a little bit with you because I'm not a big fan of watching golf. It's boring.
And I also know that tons of my friends are completely into it.
Yeah.
That's the other reason why I'll kind of.
Well, I don't have any time for it. When you just told me the date Tuesday, I'm like, oh, that's my long day at work.
Yeah. So.
But I mean, I'd like to still try to do it, but the. You know, it's boring. I don't particularly like it. But I grew up in a period, and you grew up at the same time when Tiger was really dominant. And my parents have always been big golfers. They love golf, and we've always grown up with the Masters. And you know, as a family, we've always loved Tiger. And so it was just a great. You know, it's great because he was. You know, people like the badmouth Tiger, but you know, back in the day at 3 o'clock on a Sunday, you knew exactly where you were going to be. Watching Tiger Woods play the tournament.
Right.
Probably winning. So it was fun. I mean, I like there was a tournament on this past weekend. I didn't watch it. Mm. You know, I just watched for Tiger.
And it, right.
But it was cool, man, because, you know, for all 4 days, it was just kind of he was in the mix. So it really consumed my whole weekend. But, you know, it's nice to see a guy like that win.
Yeah, and I again, not being an aficionado of the sport, but I guess I would imagine that it's very good for the sport in general.
I think if you had if you took a driver, teed up a ball, and made connection with it, and felt the freaking ball fly, you'd go, wow. Because I think that's the addiction.
I have hit some balls back in the day at Rehoboth Country Club.
And you did, and how'd it go?
And I made, you know, I was able to tag a few, and I get it. Like if you hit a, if you, you know, you hit the, you make a, you hit an, I don't know what the proper terminology is, but when you
shot,
couldn't hit a great shot and you feel it in the sweet spot. I don't know if they use that. I use that in tennis,
but it's all sweet.
I don't know if it's in golf, but, and you know, you can feel it in your bones. It's up there.
It's when you don't feel it in your bones is when you know you hit the sweet spot. It's when you rattles through every bone in your body, you know, that was not a good shot.
Yeah.
But but I'm like you. I don't have the time, and it's expensive, and you know. Yeah. But so when is the is there anything you want to talk about as far as the charitable foundation goes? I know we just mentioned the golf game.
Just that golf tournament for right now. Oh, and April 29th at the Starboard, a couple of folks from Big Fish are doing a fundraiser. It's called the Big Fish Charity Formal. It's the second annual Big Fish Charity Formal that anybody can go to. And I can't remember what the price is. Those guys are going to kill me. But that's happening on April 29th, which I think is a Friday or Saturday.
You should have wrote that down.
Yeah, well, I didn't think we were going to talk about this stuff. And well, I'm realizing I just really, because the money they raise is going to benefit the Big Fish Charitable Foundation and the Delaware Center for Inland Bays.
Okay.
And I realize I'm not doing my job now because I don't know that information, and I should.
What's up? Sam, back in the room. Now what are you looking for? Okay, hold on.
Is that a steak joint, like a cheesesteak sub joint?
No, Pat's Pizza.
Pat's Pizza.
Yeah.
Haven't had that yet.
Oh, it's delicious, but they have also other good food. Sorry, I had to, Sam came back in the room, and so he's hungry, but yeah, nice, Pat's is great.
Interesting element to the show, the whatever we can call that little bit.
Interruption.
I think it's fine.
Yeah, no, and that's, you know, that I have to have fun with it. I can't get so serious because I'll stress myself right out doing podcasts. If I I just hit the spring.
Yeah.
You know, if I get so serious about it, you know, there's.
Yeah.
And the other thing I was going to say was that, I forgot what I was going to say. Damn it.
Yeah. I was talking about the foundation. I was talking about the Big Fish Charity Formal on the April 29th. That's where we were beforehand.
Well, what I was going to say, and I think I actually remember now that I think I already said it, which was that, you know, when you're going to do these podcasts, you're going to need like a guy, you know, your go-to guy where you can some fill-in stuff. I would start recording them, post them.
Yeah, I think that's where I am now. And I needed to get the my first official feedback, like I said, from Eric and Holly, and I've gotten that, and I now feel like I can start bulldozing ahead.
Would you ever do a podcast on your own?
You mean as? Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm planning on doing that. So,
I know what I was going to say. Sorry, I need to say it or I'll forget again.
Gotcha.
You know what I like about the podcast also is that I don't have to. You know, I can like help you get your podcast going. You can be the most successful podcast. That doesn't mean that I can't still have a podcast. You know, it's like, it's not like a hair salon where you open a hair salon and then someone opens a hair salon next door and then you're like, shit, are people getting their hair cut over there and it's taken away from business?
Right.
You know, the thing about this is that, you know, I can have a podcast. I can help you.
No.
We can help each other.
I agree. And one of the things I noticed with the podcasts I listen to, again, the ones by comedians.
Right.
They go on each other's show.
Right.
And they're friends, and quite honestly, when one of the comedians has another one of the comedians on that has a podcast,
right?
They're the best.
Yep,
because they talk about the podcast, and being comedians, they you know, they bust on each other, then they sail into another topic, and then they bust on each other again, or somebody else, you know, like one of the other comedians slash podcasters. It's just great. I don't think there's a, oh, there's only one pug. You know, it's not this, it's completely not the same.
Well, and I remember even as a salon owner, you know, I've reached out to other salons. Like, I also launched a social media app called Rehoboth Social.
Yeah.
And I was hoping that maybe I could get, like, my friends at other salons to try it. They wouldn't even talk to me.
Yeah.
They're so like, oh, God, you know, this is the enemy. And, you know, I hate getting caught up in that bullshit.
Right. But I can see why it's like, you know, now I can see where people would be apprehensive about something like that. But like this especially, there's no commercial interest.
Mm-mm.
Right. And I think that's what makes it a lot different. Now, I understand these other the comedians.
Yeah.
But like, for instance, Joe Rogan, like you can tell he's not like, well, he's number one, he's the king already.
Right.
And he's the person who has inspired and helped all these other comedians get their own podcast, meaning he's simply gone, hey, man, you should start your own podcast. And some of the guys were like, you know, I don't know. And eventually, you know, he's coaching them.
Yep.
You know, and I would imagine a lot of that comes from his jiu-jitsu training. He's being a teacher and helping, going, look, you can do this. This will help you. You know, he teaches them that, hey, get a podcast. Your shows will be sold out. You know, these poor guys that got to travel the whole country to do these shows and all these different laugh factories. Yeah. And that's what happens, is that they do the podcast. People hear the podcast. They end up in town, in somebody's town, and now people go see them.
Right.
So it's good for them.
Yeah.
And he's not like, he's helping them. But yeah, I guess he can afford to help them, to be honest.
Well, I think we can all afford to help. I mean, it's free,
right?
You know, but I think that if you're worried or stressed out about like losing a listener because of somebody else's podcast, you're going down a crazy rabbit hole, and that's why
I think your podcast will end up not being so hot,
right?
If that's a tenet of your podcast philosophy,
absolutely,
or a tenet of your philosophy in general.
Well, and I wonder how that his podcast works. I'm sure people, I mean, he must have like booking agents and stuff.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
it
yeah,
must
yeah,
be
yeah.
a whole big thing to get on his podcast.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think at that level, well, especially because of the guests he has, like, for instance, Marc Maron, who doesn't do video. I've read that he used, because of the guests he has. I mean, he has had Obama on there. He gets like movie stars and actors and musicians on there. He's just not calling them up. He has to use some kind of agency to line these folks up.
Right. Well, and I'm sure when you're in that
now
business.
Joe Rogan, it might be different because he has comedians. He knows a lot of, because he does a lot of odd things, so he's into a lot. He might have connections.
Well, and I think when you're in that business, there's probably like, if you're, you know, putting out a book or you're putting out a movie or something, you probably put on some sort of list or let it out there that you are available,
right,
to do the circuit.
Yeah.
And, you know, they probably refer to that. Because he'll say, you know, what do you got going on? Welcome back. What's going on now?
Give them a chance to plug their stuff.
Yeah. And that's cool. I like it.
Yeah.
Well, listen, that was an hour. Do you want to talk about anything else?
I think.
Do you have any more things to drop?
No. I'm super happy the weather's getting warmer. And
the weather's awesome. We've had a spring this year.
Yeah, I mean, today is shaping up to be, I mean, yesterday was great.
Yeah.
And it's funny how I always forget, I mean, because it really is, to me anyway, exhilarating. And I realized, yeah, Brian, this happens every year. And I go, yeah, I know. But the actual, then what I start realizing is how tough the winters are. You know, these reactions I'm having to the weather, the relief and the exuberation shows me how tough the cold is. And
it's
I realize, dude, I mean, it's, yeah, I mean, I like the cold, but I go, when I feel this way in this weather, I go, this is better.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I always say I need to have that so that I can appreciate this.
Yeah.
If it was like this, it would be rough.
Now I also do the move where I go, I don't like the heat. So I know July is also coming now, and I go,
well, exactly.
Enjoy this while you can.
I always say in July you can get out one trip,
maybe one short trip to the beach, and then back into the house.
7 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, at 7 a.m., and then everything after 1 is in the house.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I appreciate you coming on. Like I said, you are always welcome to come on this podcast.
Thank you very much.
I love having you. It's an easy hour chatting with you. And whatever I can do, if you want me to come do your podcast, I'd love to. Whatever I can do to help, I'm always available to give you a hand. So, I appreciate what you're doing. You're inspiring me. Well, I'm going to write things down now.
Right. I mean, yeah, you're doing it. You had me back on, and you're part of the reason I wanted to really get moving, and I appreciate it. So thanks for having me on. I look forward to coming back on again, and I'll eventually ask you to come on.
Brian always brings me some snack, and I always appreciate it. But I'm like, Brian, I hope to have you on many more times. You don't have to bring me the snacks, but
it's a practice of hospitality, brother.
I appreciate it. Now I'm going to have to get some snacks and bring them onto your podcast.
Well, see, that's the thing. I don't expect you to do that.
We're going
to
keep upping our... Look, Brian, I brought you a car.
Hey,
I'm
out
of snacks.
I need a new car, as a matter of fact.
All right, brother. Be good. I'll talk to you soon, and I'm going to look into that golf tournament.
All right. I appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
Take it easy.
Bye.